Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Today, we are going to chat about one of the most haunted hotels in the country, and it's called the Hotel Monte Vista. It's located in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it's off of historic Route 66. This hotel is on a number of haunted hotel lists, and even on the haunted bucket list locations on many of the little ghost maps. Have you seen those?
They're so cute. They're so cute.
I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I noticed when I was looking at them, I'm like, oh my gosh, this hotel is on so many of them.
We've done a lot of the things on those little mappies too.
We have. So if you are looking at those maps, listen to a lot of our spooky travel episodes because it includes a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Arizona, right? We all know I live in hell. Well, I actually did go to this hotel many years ago. Before I knew its history, I knew it was haunted, but that's all. I knew nothing about it. And I will say I did have a long night because of the strange vibes. We went up for like a snow day and stayed there overnight. And I went with my family and a few friends. And yeah, all night we were like, this is weird. I keep hearing this, or like, I just feel like someone's watching me. I do not remember what room I stayed in. I don't remember much about it. I think I have some old photos of it. But now I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, that's fair. It does sound interesting. I hadn't heard of it before we had done this, but I was like, ooh.
And Flagstaff is super fun. There's a bunch of like little shops and coffee shops, you know, my favorite. So I love going there.
I do like a place with little shops and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a little moment.
Yeah, that's my dream, is just to have a coffee in hand and go to little weird shops. But anyways, okay. So let's start with the history of the hotel. In the 1920s, tourism was on the rise in Flagstaff and Arizona in general, and a lot of locals realized that they needed something new in order to meet the growing demand of the people visiting. So they're like, we need a place for these people to stay. The current hotels at the time were a bit outdated, and so they needed a way to also stand out. So they're like, we need something to catch people's attention. So in order to do this, they decided that the best way to fund this project would be to do a big fundraiser. And so in April of 1926, they started their fundraiser. Prominent citizens invested pretty quickly, along with a novelist named Zane Grey. Within a month, the fundraising goal was reached, and they made $200,000. In today's money, that would be about $3,600,000 in a month.
That's interesting. I also don't think that today that would get you a hotel.
No. Nowhere.
Yeah. Unless it was in a place that was very rural, I don't think it would get you one in the city.
No. Now, ground was broken on June 8th of 1926. So like quick turnaround time. They started the fundraiser in April and then they were already starting the build June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Pretty quick. Their plans for the hotel were for a 73-room hotel and that they were going to incorporate two existing structures. So I think that that would have saved some money, too, if they're like, we're going to use these two buildings that are already here and just like make it into one big building.
Makes sense.
Now, the structures that were already there were the post office, and that had opened in 1917. So it wasn't open incredibly long. And then the other building was used for the Coconino Sun newspaper company. And now that specific area, from what I saw, is the Monte V Cocktail Lounge. So that was what the old building now is.
Okay, so April, they're fundraising. The hotel opened on New Year's Day of 1927. So we're not even a full year later.
Yeah.
Now, when it opened, it was called the Community Hotel. Cute, but a terrible name for a hotel.
You're very judgy about hotel names, though.
I am incredibly judgy with hotel names. And I just refuse to believe that that is a good hotel name. I just don't think it's good. Because the Community Hotel is bizarre because it's typically not the community that's staying in the hotel. They live there. That's where they live.
Yeah.
It should be the non-community hotel, if anything. And that's also a bad name.
The Strangers Hotel.
Oh, the Strangers Hotel. What a vibe. I like it. That's way better than the Community Hotel. Anywho, okay, so they named it this because they wanted to honor the donors of the project. I still think that that was a bad idea.
Mm. I think they also agreed because they changed the name to Monte Vista, meaning Mountain View. And they actually picked this because they had a naming contest, which one, I just love the idea of that. Hell yeah, have a naming contest.
Yeah.
But you have to stick with it. But the person who submitted this idea was just 12 years old. So changed to Monte Vista Hotel.
Isn't that cute? I love it.
A lot better. For decades, the hotel remained the longest publicly held commercial property, but it did sell to a private investor in the 60s. Now let's just talk about some of the notable things that have happened in the hotel formerly known as the Community Hotel, now known as the Monte Vista Hotel. Yet I can't say a single word, you know? Anywho, so you know what I'm thinking when we're talking about a notable hotel. We're obviously going to talk about classic haunted hotel stuff, like the fact that it had a role in the early days of radio broadcasting in Flagstaff. That's just your standard haunted lore, is it not?
Of course.
So in 1927, Mary Costigan, who was the second woman in the world to be granted a radio broadcasting license, moved to Flagstaff to assist her brother and business partner in running the Majestic Opera House, now known as Orpheum. When her brother's health declined, she took over and established a 25-watt radio station backstage at the Majestic Opera House. Then, just 2 years later, in 1929, she moved the station to the Monte Vista and upgraded it to a 100-watt radio station that aired 3 hours a day. And the first broadcast had an audience of about 400 residents, and she ran her show out of room 105, which I do love the idea of that, but can you imagine being a person in the next room and you can hear how a person loudly talking and being like, hello, welcome to, I'm just imagining a very slow jams jazz station and a person is very loudly playing slow jams jazz and being like, hello, welcome to the jazz time. And it's very loud for some reason. I don't know why, but it is. Anyway, she is running her show out of room 105. And I say it casually, but it was impressive for considering that time period. It's like 1929 and she's running a radio station out of a hotel room. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, women's history too. Like, she was one of the first to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And strange that it was the hotel, but I guess like it's easy to get space doing that. Nowadays, you'd rent like a room in one of those big buildings, you know, for people that do various, what, spa treatments. I've seen dog washes, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, like an industrial park kind of deal.
Yeah. Before, it was just, let me rent this hotel room to do my 3 hour radio show.
Fascinating.
Love it. Love it.
That's what we'll do. We'll run True Creeps out of a hotel room.
We should. We should just travel to all the haunted hotels and do an episode.
I say that jokingly because how cute would it be if this took 3 hours every week? That's all it took. It was just.
Well, if we were just doing this live and saying nonsense,
oh, no.
And people were just dealing with our shit forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So under this hotel, there is a system of underground tunnels that is accessible from several buildings in the area, including the Hotel Monte Vista. The creation of these tunnels is widely debated, which I thought was interesting. You would think you would be able to easily find why these were built, but that's not the case here. There are lots of rumors, though, as to why the tunnels were built. When you look at the hotel's history page, one rumor, and I think this one is one of the common rumors, is that they were originally built by Chinese immigrants in the early 1900s. And unfortunately, people were peopling, and they were not treating the Chinese people very well, and even may have blamed them for some fire damage that happened to many of the buildings that were downtown. So the rumor is that they created it and used these tunnels to get around.
Interesting.
Kind of a sad reason. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very sad. And it's also horrifying that you would feel like you would have to use underground tunnels to be able to safely exist where you're living or anywhere, frankly. Mm-hmm. That breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm. I read one when I was looking for history, and we're going to talk about why some of this is just up in the air. But they were saying that a lot of them moved out of the area for a while and let everything, like, everyone get their shit together and cool down. And then they came back, which, again, so sad.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's awful.
Now, according to Northern Arizona University, the college there, who also has tunnels under the campus, the tunnels were actually built to transport heat from steam plants to various buildings. And it looked like a lot of the tunnels were built at different times. They also said that Chinese residents may have helped with the construction, but they were built for a different purpose. So Flagstaff's Pioneer Museum curator, Joe Meehan, says that the tunnels from a mill to the steam plant downtown were incredibly small, and they likely couldn't have fit grown men.
So perhaps a lot of them were built for different things. Some were big, some were small. That's my takeaway from it.
I'm always fascinated by an underground network of tunnels of unspecified origin or purpose.
Yes.
Just generally, I'm always like, tell me about this tunnel.
Right? And Meehan did say that there were several larger tunnels under several of the streets. And one that he specifically called out was Babbitt's Department Store and Babbitt's Garage. And they're on the southeast corner of San Francisco Street and Birch Avenue, which is pretty close to the hotel. And they were built in order for the bookkeepers and other staff to pass between the two buildings during snowy weather. And so they could move around important documents and books without them getting wet.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking at some of the pictures of the tunnels that are still online, though, like I wouldn't really want to walk down there, but okay.
Yeah, fair.
Now, so it seems like there are various tunnels. Some of them had various purposes and reasons why they were built and how large they were. So it's just there's so many different ones.
Yeah.
Now, most of the tunnels today are typically used for storage and pipes. Others have been bricked over and closed.
There are lots of rumors about, obviously, right? We've got unknown origin. You got unknown origin. We're going to fill in the lore. So there's all different types of suggestions, ideas as to what they were used for, including the manufacturing, selling, and use of alcohol and drugs, gambling, and sex work. There's been some evidence of some of these possible activities found down there, like alcohol bottles and slot machines and gambling tables. So we're pretty sure about the gambling part, but we're not sure about everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And the alcohol prohibition.
Well, yeah. I'm like the gambling kind of comes with the alcohol, right? Like people are like, I'm completely sober and gambling away.
Here's all my monies. Take it.
Yeah. But yeah, likely left over from Prohibition. And we will talk about it later, but the hotel was featured on some haunted TV shows. And there was one that actually goes down into the tunnel under the Monte Vista. The Cocktail Lounge opened up during the Prohibition era under the guise of a newspaper publishing house. And rumors suggested that during this time, there was a major bootlegging operation and even a speakeasy in the space. Local authorities stopped it, however, in 1931, but it was able to reopen just a couple years later in 1933 after Prohibition ended. There was a light on top of the building that acted as an emergency signal in the town in the 1930s. So it's a little bit unclear whether it was a light or whether it's the neon sign that's up there and that they would use that as an alert mechanism as well. But we're kind of unsure. But it was used to alert authorities and citizens of hazards and catastrophes in and around the area. And this seems so much better than once an hour being like, hey, there's been no murders. Everything's all clear. AKA calling the hour, which we talked about in our Hammersmith episode. It does make sense, too, that they would be using on something on top of this building, since like if the area was small enough where they were looking for a place to house incoming tourists at the beginning of that kind of boom, that this would be one of the tallest buildings, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like if it was a sign, it's a pretty prominent sign, like it's still there today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what you think of when you think of this hotel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you think like red-ish, red-yellow hotel sign, it is this. It is like classic old hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, let's talk about some of the known guests of the hotel. I always am fascinated by like who stayed there and who was the talk of the town when they were staying there at the time.
Yes. Yes.
So in the 40s and 50s, Western films were gaining popularity. And during the filming of those films, several celebrities stayed here. So they'd film in the area or outside the area, but this is where they'd go to stay. So Jane Russell, Gary Cooper, Spencer Tracy, John Wayne, and Bing Crosby were known to stay there. Now, some other notable names, Bob Hope, Michael Stipe, and he's the REM vocalist. Zane Grey, he's the one that helped get the hotel built and also spent a ton of time at the hotel. He also mentions the hotel in some of his stories.
Nice.
Michael J. Fox has stayed there. And then my favorite, many people probably don't know who she is, but Susie Sue from Susie and the Banshees stayed there.
We've talked about her in another episode, too, I think.
Probably. I'm obsessed with her. I love her. And so like a lot of the other hotels that we've talked about, there's been some movies, TV shows, things like that, that have included the hotel in it. One of the biggest ones was Casablanca, Forrest Gump. And then it's also been on a lot of like spooky travel shows, like Travel Channel's Most Terrifying Places in 2019. It was the topic of Portals to Hell in 2021, which I didn't know existed I had never seen Jack Osborne talk about spooky shit. I thought that was interesting.
I don't think I've seen that show, but I've watched another show where he's basically sharing with his parents spooky shit.
Okay.
I've watched it with when Ben's mom came to town. We would play cards and watch that. This is also related but unrelated. They talk about cryptids in that other show, so it made me think of this. Someone has made TikTok accounts for cryptids.
Oh, no.
And... of course, there's a Mothman, and he's like, what's up, flock? When he starts it, he's got a selfie stick, and he's camping. And then there's also a Chupacabra one. There's a werewolf one. There's a Loch Ness Monster one. They are, in fact, AI. They're very clearly created by, like, I don't know if a person wrote the script and then had that video done by AI or if it all is AI. But I am amused at the fact that they have their own TikToks, generally.
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple other paranormal shows that have included this hotel is Ghost Adventures and then Most Terrifying Places in America in 2019.
Nice.
It's real spooky.
Yeah. Certified spooky, one might say.
Certified.
So let's talk about Monte Vista Hotel today. The hotel is listed on the U.S. Registrar of Historic Places. So the hotel has 73 rooms, and within the three floors, there's suites there as well. The hotel seems to embrace their ghost stories, and they're even on their website. Love that. Tell me about your ghost lore. You're going to draw more people in. You're going to have your people. And if they don't want ghosts, let them know.
Yes. Yeah, I love it because it's like on their history page, they include it after. They're like, oh, by the way, these are our resident ghosts. Mm-hmm. This is their background.
Honor them. I love it. So let's talk about the hauntings. In room 220, this is known as the...
I hate this.
I'm going to give you a pause. I'm going to pause really quick. Just guess. Guess what this room is called.
You won't guess.
You won't guess it, but I want you to try. Just take a little guess. Also, just message us what you guess. I want to know. I want to know what you guessed. Because it's wrong, because it's nicknamed the Meat Man's Room.
I read that and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. And what I hate the most about that is that it makes sense. Like, is that it fits with there's a reason why it's the Meat Man's Room. And it's because there was a long-term guest that would hang raw meat from the chandelier.
I hate it so much.
I'm going to take a moment and I'm just going to let us all process that. He hung raw meat from the chandelier. Like... why? Where was that meat from? Why? Why? I can't even get past that. I will just pause and say my first apartment in Mount Vernon, fourth floor walk up, townhouse, cool little place. Except the guy beneath us, his apartment, when he would open the door, smelled like an open air meat market.
Oh no, was that the residence?
That was the Meat Man's Room. We didn't have chandeliers. So I don't know what he was hanging his raw meat from, but it certainly smelled like he was hanging raw meat in there. Anywho.
Wouldn't you be mad as the hotel owner, though? You're like, yeah, I'll rent you a room. What the fuck are you doing in my room? You're hanging meat?
Hey, what if you didn't?
Yeah.
Because someone's going to clean that. Now there's raw meat juices all over it. Also, again, I just need to point out, we're saying meat. Are we specifying the origin? Is this beef? Is this chicken cutlets? Is it?
I hate all of it.
It's all bad, but somehow chicken breasts fucks me up even more than anything else.
I'm thinking like bloody meat. Like yeah. Dripping
no,
the
no.
Blood.
I originally what? Was too, but then I thought about chicken cutlets and it makes it so much worse because it's salmonella as well. You can eat pretty raw meat. But not poultry. I'm going to assume that it's a red meat. Anyway, he's hanging red meat. Now, unfortunately, this man dies in the early 1980s, and he was found dead in his room. So he was not found right away. It was estimated that he was found about 3 days after he died. And that's horrific and sad.
It is.
It is.
But also, I just think of the room itself.
Yes. The other part of it is presumably there was still meat hanging from the chandelier of unknown age and origin. And I'm sure that had a smell. And I'm sure the people who work there were used to the smell. So if there was a new smell that was similar or it was stronger, they might not notice. Mm-hmm. But still sad. But it's like, oh, no, just the yeah. factors are making this difficult.
Yes.
So not long after he died, a maintenance worker was in there working on some repairs. I'm going to assume he was taking down the chandelier for a deep clean, frankly.
Probably everything.
Yeah. And he needed to get a new fixture and had to leave the room. When he did, he locked up and turned the lights off. A few minutes later, when he walked back in, the TV was on at full volume and the sheets on the bed had been ripped off and thrown around the room. Bizarre.
Right?
Today, some guests have reported the TV doing strange things. Some people hear coughing and laughing. Some people even hear disembodied conversations. Some say they smell the raw meat. You know I don't like a ghost smell, but that's the worst one. Uh-uh.
Yeah, give me the cigar smell any day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like please, please.
The old perfume.
Like the old perfume, old cologne. Okay, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. But I guess my thing, too, is like, I guess I can sometimes get caught up in the details. I generally find, you know, with my hobby of smelling raw meats, that raw meat doesn't really have so much of a smell unless something's wrong, right? So I do think I simply would vomit. I would just vomit about it. So housekeepers have walked into the room and have seen the chandelier swaying. And according to the hotel's website, they have. Okay. So take a moment. Prepare yourself for what I'm going to say next, okay? Because we've got a lot of questions and a lot of comments.
We do. We do.
Okay. Per the, I love that the hotel puts this on there. You can't be mad about it. We fucking warned you. They have reports of, quote, cold male hands touching guests in their sleep.
Yep. So the specific quote from the hotel is, today, it is common for the television to act on its own accord, as well as reports of cold male hands touching guests in their sleep. That's a direct quote mm-hmm. from their website. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just so. We're out there. First off, what?
Right? Look, that's way too casual.
That's too casual. Also, I want to understand how they know they're cold male hands.
Mm-hmm.
So these guests can differentiate male versus female ghost hands?
Yeah, I've like, actually.
How did they get this ability?
I have such a specific answer for this. I've solved it. I've solved this problem.
Okay. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So you're a person who stayed in the meat man's room. 220. The chandelier has swayed. You've been woken up by male hands touching your face. You're likely not going to scribble a note down and write this out and hand it to the manager. You're going to call. You're going to talk to someone. This is going to be a verbal conversation. And there were male hands touching me in my sleep. However, the hotel just heard it wrong. It was male, M-A-I-L. And they had envelopes in their hands as well. They were rubbing envelopes on their face. That's what was happening. That it was just parcels, envelopes, a USPS stamp, if you will. They were sticking stamps on their face. That's what I'd like to think.
Okay. Okay. Well, the thing is it doesn't specify. It doesn't specify where.
Oh, no. I thought face. But I guess, look, they're just getting touched with envelopes, I guess. Hands and envelopes. Hopefully. They're male hands. Hands holding mail.
What I thought of is your ghost facial massage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you think that you could tell the difference between male and female ghost hands on your face?
Well, I would know if it was a male face massage because I'd have paper cuts from the envelopes. I'm so tickled with myself. Like, I'm so amused here, but obviously fucking not.
Mm-mm.
I mean, also, really, we need to give like a, we have to give a sex to the hands? Is it that important? If I'm being touched by something that is not there, well, I'm probably not going to like it.
Yeah.
And after that, I don't think I really need to have too many details because anyone can have big or small hands. Like,
I think this is the one room in the hotel that I'd be like, actually, can I get a different room? Like, oh, I just don't even want to deal with any of this shit.
None of this is a whimsical haunt. It smells like rotten meat. The chandelier that was haunted by that fucking meat its entire life is traumatized, trying to air itself out. Something's touching you with envelopes. Nothing good is happening in that room. Unless
that's
what you're into, which no judgment. But you know what? Maybe that's for you. Maybe the meat man is for you. I love that he could have, you know, an alive counterpart who's into it. Now, I will just say, I just think it's possible. Maybe the ghost had envelopes in its hand. Maybe it had the little sack of letters.
Okay.
Maybe it had some stamps. And when they were being touched, they were being stamped with those stamps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
That's definitely it. That's definitely it. Because that's the only way that it would make sense that for someone to say, male hands, male ghost hands were touching me. That makes more sense than being like, this was a man. A man's ghost hand.
This is where you can stay. And you can...
Me?
You not can debunk
not
the
I.
Male.
Not I. I'm good. No thanks. I just do need to mention, what the fuck was the meat doing on that chandelier? What was the purpose of it?
I don't fucking know. Was he like aging it or something? I don't know. Meat grosses me out, so...
Well, I was thinking maybe he was cooking it? Like, could he be...
On the chandelier?
Well, maybe it was hot because it was the glass got hot from the lights. I don't know.
The only thing I was thinking about is like yellow jackets, you know, like they'd hang to like let it bleed out.
But what's he letting bleed out?
Why? I don't know. I don't know if that's what it was.
You hang meat from a chandelier. Also just found out I don't know how to spell the word chandelier.
That's a weird word.
Now, look, I don't generally like that Google gives me AI search results at the top of it, but sometimes it is useful because here's what it told me. It said aging or artistic or decorative purposes.
Hey, I'm happy that I said aging. Like, yeah. I knew what I was talking about.
Now, it did say, if considering hanging meat for aging purposes, it's crucial to ensure a safe and controlled environment to prevent spoilage.
And okay, then, so not the hotel room.
It says, not a common practice. In summary, the most plausible reasons for hanging meat from a chandelier are for meat aging or artistic expression.
If that's your artistic expression, I'm worried.
Yeah, I am dead. I'm dead. I just... The Meat Chandelier by Nathan...
What? There's a book?
No, it's an art installation.
Oh.
It's called... The Meat Chandelier on the charcuterieproject.substack.com. I don't know what else is on that website. Don't go there. I can't tell you. I'm just telling you what came up when I put, why would you hang meat on a chandelier? I gotta go. I gotta exit out of this part of the internet. I'm gonna start to see strange things. Nothing good is gonna come from here.
Okay. So then let's just move on and explore another room.
If I can, I might come back to this. I cannot guarantee I'm not. It's haunting me.
It's 3 hours of nonsense, right?
Live.
No, we got to leave that joke in.
Yeah.
The beginning. So yeah. It makes sense. Anyways. Okay. Let's move on to the room that would probably scare the fuck out of me. This would be like the scariest room for me specifically.
Before you say what it is, would you stay in 220 or this room?
I think I'd still stay in this room. I can't. Ugh, no. Meat smell.
Yeah, no. Like, the meat smell's the worst. I'd go back to Villisca before I stayed in the meat room.
Same. I'd stay the night at Villisca.
Like, at least I got pushed and I was awake.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Anywho. Tell me about this room.
Okay. So, room 305. It is said to be the most active room in the hotel. Now, people have reported seeing a woman in the rocking chair near the window. And everyone knows how I feel about rocking chairs, especially rocking on their own.
I mean, fair, though.
No, thank you. So hotel guests and even employees have said that the chair does move on its own. Also, people have heard knocking sounds coming from the closet. Unsettling.
I don't like that.
Sometimes while you're staying in there, the lights will flicker. And other guests have reported that their covers have been pulled off.
That just feels rude. That's just disrespectful.
Oh, you were sleeping? No, you weren't.
Oh, you thought. You thought you were sleeping.
Just watch me rock in my fucking rocking chair. Do not sleep.
Look at me. I'm rocking out. And you're going to be a part of it. I will say one thing. The ghosts are not allowing you to sleep here. They're like, if you're in this room, you're here for me, baby. I'm bored. Mm-hmm. Notice me.
Yep.
I can just say that there's a haunted hotel where you go and you're like, I'm going to sleep and maybe investigate places. And then there's a place where you don't sleep. You're doing your investigation. Right. That's what this is. I'm not going to try to sleep.
Yes.
In the room where there's knocking from the closet because I'm not going to sleep.
I would move the rocking chair somewhere else.
I wouldn't be sleeping. I just wouldn't be sleeping there. I'd be like, we're investigating. That's the purpose of me being in this room. I'm not going to try to relax. That can't happen there.
No.
So In this particular room, the hotel says there was an elderly woman who had been a long-term renter that would sit by the window, but they didn't have a name for her, and we also couldn't find one in our research. Mm-mm. Some sources say that she was waiting for her son to come back from war, and she would watch him out the window. That feels just very old-timey.
Yeah.
Will my insert male relative ever come back from war? And just looking outside, I feel like that's... Mm-hmm. If you've got a woman ghost, people are like, well, she's waiting for some man to come back from war. That's the only thing she could be doing looking out that window.
That or looking for her baby.
Oh, oh. I mean, we have talked about how we want ghosts to break the glass ceiling. You know what I mean? Of haunting and be able to just have a better origin ghost story. Let's do that. I think that we could do a little bit better than she literally spent her entire life looking out a window waiting for her son to come back from war. Not saying that she couldn't be concerned or worried.
She just liked that chair.
Yeah, surely she was doing more than that. Was she reading a series of great books? Was she writing a novel?
Mm-hmm. She was complaining about the meat man.
I mean, honestly, maybe she was sitting by the window because it fucking smelled. Because, you know, 305 is not going to be next to 220, but it is going to be like up and a little over, you know, so the vents.
Maybe.
You know, like maybe she's on the other side. Maybe the meat chandelier's under her room. I don't have the blueprints. There's a lot of reasons one could be near a window. Look, maybe she was smoking pot near the window. You know what I mean? Just blowing it outside. I don't know. Who could say? Some people say that she's watching for her son. I don't know. I feel like she could do better. The restaurant manager, Jeannie, said that many of these stories have been orally passed down, and there isn't much, if anything, written about them. So again, we get into these classic tropes. I am more inclined to believe the meat man origin story because...
Why would you make up that story?
Who and why? That's just too specific. And those are also highly unpleasant things to experience. Look, I think I'd be okay if they were based on the fact that it smells like meat and the chandelier moves. We think meat was hanging from the chandelier. That feels like a reasonable guess, even if we were never really sure of the lore. But a rocking chair moves. It's probably an old woman looking outside waiting for her son to come home from war. There could be so many more things. Anywho, Jack Osborne even asked Jeannie, like, hey, like, why isn't there much written in newspapers about this? And what she said was that the stories were passed down orally because since this hotel was in an affluent area and they were trying to draw tourists, they weren't going to write about the deaths. They weren't going to write about all the weird shit happening. They weren't going to talk about the guy with the meat chandelier. I mean, fair. Fair-ish, I guess. Also, there are a lot more deaths happening at hotels than we generally know about. One of the things that we've talked about before is that it is actually painfully common for people to go to a hotel to take their own life because they don't want their family to have to find them. And doing it in their life is harder than doing it elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Again, if you know that there's more death in hotels generally, and you're not seeing it everywhere, you can assume that, yeah, it actually is happening. We're just not knowing about it and no one's talking about it because the businesses don't want you to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, we are drawn to haunted hotels, but not everyone is. Some people refuse to stay in a hotel that is said to be haunted. So between that and then obviously bad stuff happening in your hotel, you don't want that everywhere. That's going to hurt tourism. And back in the day, especially if it was, you know, a affluent area where people could control some of that stuff being said.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me. So yeah, when I watched the episode, it seemed like many things in this hotel are orally passed down. All of the stories are. And there isn't much written. So that's why we don't have a lot of names of who was staying here, who the meat man was, who the woman in the chair is.
Who the meat man was.
And there's more that we'll talk about where I even looked, like I scoured looking for police reports or anything that I could find on certain individuals. I could not find a thing. So very weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, now there was a video that was featured on Portals to Hell that was taken in this room. And a man named Hollis Centriol was filming with his kids in this room. They were playing with a Ouija board. And he said, quote, "If you're here, move the rocking chair." In the video, it immediately moved. And the entire family runs out of the room pretty much screaming.
Fair. So fair.
Right? Now, the man was genuinely scared, I think. Like, he sounded terrified. And then the hotel confirmed that he checked out in the middle of the night. Now, on Portals to Hell, Hollis came in and did an interview back in the room. And he looked very uncomfortable. When he was talking about what happened that night, he almost, like, teared up. So I feel like his fear was real, or he's just an incredible actor.
Interesting.
He mentioned that he really didn't believe in the paranormal at all when they went, and he thought he was just going there to kind of mess with his kids. So his kids had been watching YouTube videos about spirit boards, and he's like, hey, why don't we make a little trip out of it? Why don't we go to a haunted hotel? We'll pick one up. We'll take a little vacation. We'll play in the snow.
Oh, no.
And then we'll come back. We'll use the board in this supposedly haunted hotel room. Well, it kind of backfired on him, right? The family had told all of their friends that they were going to do this, too. And so around midnight, they're like, hey, we'll stream it to all our friends. They can watch. So not only are they doing this and they get terrified, they do it in front of people. When they started streaming, they were at like this little table in the room and they had candles lit. Hollis says that they had the heat on, but it did all of a sudden feel colder right before it happened. He didn't think anything of it. Then he felt nausea coming on. And he's like, this isn't common for me. There wasn't really a reason for it. Okay, that's interesting, right? Someone on their little live stream said, hey, you should ask it to move the chair. So he did. Now, when the chair moved, the whole family does run out. And you hear the kids screaming. And you hear him just saying, hold on, hold on, hold on, like while he's running out after them. But his voice did sound panicked. And I'm like, okay, you're doing a live stream. I see that sometimes, like, depending on who's watching or what's going on, you're kind of putting this character on. But just his voice really did sound panicked to me, like a panicked father.
Yeah.
When he talked about it with, like, Jack Osborne in that show, he was tearing up and talking about, like, how scared he was and how he didn't know how to protect his family from something that can't be seen. So, like, his panic wasn't, I don't think, because the chair moved. I think it was like, oh my gosh, what if it tries to do something and I can't help my kids?
Yeah. I would also imagine seeing your kids scared puts you into a protective mode. So,
yeah,
even if you aren't necessarily sure what you are afraid of, you are picking up on their fear. So you're the fact that you are terrified right now and running, it's instinctual. You don't even need to know what they're scared about, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's just a scary situation. So from what he said is like his family rushed downstairs and then he had the manager come back up with him to get all their stuff so they could leave. And while they were like packing it up, the manager's like, oh yeah, this happens all the time. Like nothing.
Huh. Interesting.
Pretty scary room, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about 306. Now, as a note, the red light district was just about 2 blocks from Monta Vista. So sometimes people will bring sex workers to the hotel. In the early 1940s, 2 sex workers were brought to room 306. And while they were there, they were both murdered and thrown from the room's third floor window to the street. So since then, guests have reported being woken up in the middle of the night and not being able to go back to sleep because they had the feeling that they were being watched. Also, men who have stayed there have reported waking up to feeling like there were hands placed over their mouths and throats and they were unable to breathe.
Oof. That's pretty scary.
That's pretty fucking scary. That's very, very terrifying and also so horrible.
Yeah.
That those sex workers experience that. That's disgusting.
It is. It is. And that's another one where I'm like, surely there has to be names somewhere.
Surely there has to be names somewhere. But I would be shocked if there was a news article about that because it would mean that they were admitting that there were sex workers brought there and that there were murders.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So there's also some experiences that people have had that have kind of been in different places throughout the hotel. For example, some guests have said that they would hear a knock at their door and someone shout, room service, and they would open the door and no one's there. Others would kind of look through the little peephole or open the door, not quite sure how they saw this, but they would see the figure of a bellboy standing outside of room 210, which is the same gray room. So one notable guest who reported this spirit is John Wayne. Apparently, he reported this happening during several of his stays, but he said the ghost seemed friendly and he didn't really feel threatened. Interesting.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So the bellboy is described as having an old-fashioned red coat with brass buttons and has also been seen just wandering down the halls. He's the most reported spirit. We always have our bloopers after the credits, but I originally missaid that statement. And just please listen to the end to listen to the horror show that I made just by saying one word wrong. But one, when you think classic bellboy outfit, that's what I'm thinking. And two, mm-hmm. You know, it makes me unhappy to see a ghost working at their job.
Yeah.
Sweetie, no, go home. Go anywhere else. You don't got to. I mean, maybe that was his home, but that hurts my soul, too. Don't live where you work. Anyway.
I'm still thinking about that bellboy that I'm so Lindsay fucking described the wrong way.
You with. You're welcome. This is a scary podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been real scary. Okay, so let's move on. Various places around the hotel that people have seen, felt, heard scary things. Sometimes furniture in empty rooms gets moved around. So I imagine like the hotel staff is like walking in and they're like, what is wrong with this?
Mm-hmm.
Some have reported an apparition of a woman roaming the hallway outside of the 200s rooms. They didn't say what she looked like, what she possibly is doing, just that they've seen her.
She's just doing a little walk.
Yeah, just doing a walk.
Up and down the walls.
Down the walls. I was getting my hair done last week, and we were kind of talking about haunted locations in Arizona. And one of the stylists kind of like looks up and she's like, oh, I have a story. Her name was Jessica. But she actually brought up this hotel. I didn't bring up this hotel. And the funny thing is it was the day after I started researching for this episode. So I was like, oh, tell me more. But she says that she was staying in a room and she woke up to the scent of someone blowing smoke into her face. And she's like, it was so much. I couldn't see the smoke, but it's like someone was smoking literally in my face and it woke me up. She said it was super strong and the scent like surrounded her. And I'm like, that is an unpleasant way to wake up. Bizarre. She's like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't remember what room I was in, but I just remember waking up and just being uncomfortable.
I would be pissed if anyone blew in my face to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
I would be even more angry if it was smoke. Hot breath on my face is bad enough. It doesn't have to be smoke on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you. So that, I don't know what room she was in, but I guess that can happen there as well.
That's from the meat smoking room.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
She didn't say it was the smell of meat. She said smoke. I will take smoke over the meat, though.
Smoked meat?
No smoked meat. I'm so over it. My husband got a smoker, and like that is like his thing now. No. I'm sure you guys will love it when you come to visit.
One, we do. Like, I'm not being facetious. And then also, him and my brother can bond over smoked meats.
Oh, God. Great. Love it. I'll be somewhere else. Okay, so let's move on and head to the basement. Talk about the spooky basement. Many employees have heard an infant crying in the basement, which is unsettling, right?
Yes.
I don't know if I've told you, but have I told you the story of the apartment with the baby crying that we lived in?
It sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
Yeah. So like in the middle of the night, one night, we're all asleep, super late. It had to have been. My mom and I, from opposite ends of the apartment, get up and start running to the living room because it sounded like a baby crying, a newborn baby, like very loud baby.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing there. And like we checked outside, we checked because we had like a patio and the front door, checked both like, did someone fucking lose a baby or leave it somewhere? No baby. But we both, from opposite ends, opposite bedrooms, jumped up at the same time because we heard a baby crying.
Dislike.
No, I hated that apartment. Now, for the hotel basement, there isn't a reason that we could find about why a baby would be down there crying. But there's some odd stories that are likely just weird legends of some of the sex workers that had gone to the hotel and perhaps one of them having a baby and it dying. I don't know, though. That just seemed like they were just trying to make something up to make this make sense. But either way, it sounds horrible hearing a baby cry in a dark basement. Now, others believe that there could be children that had lived in the area during the early days of the hotel and that they may have died either from an accident or possibly an illness. And so perhaps they were just, that was like a fun place to be. I don't know. Some have heard laughing down there as well. So at least it's not always a cry.
None of this is good.
None of it's good, though. Yeah.
Disembodied laughing freaks me out, too. This is all like, hey, what's the most unsettling, haunting behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Bit, as the kids say.
Yeah, yeah. And in the basement, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not in the basement.
You know, like if it was in a room, it would just feel different than the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is one story that we read where a maintenance worker was down there and he heard a ball bouncing. So then when the maintenance worker went to investigate, like, is someone down here? Why is there a ball down here? He found nothing, but he could hear giggling around him.
That's interesting. There is a hotel here. It's the Lord Baltimore Hotel. And I went on a ghost tour, I don't know, last year or two there. And they actually have a ghost that like on one of the floors, that's like one of the things they often hear is the sound of a rubber ball bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a common sound. And there's, like, I believe there's a painting of a child with, like, a red ball up there because of it.
Oh, interesting.
And that is, like, one of their most common hauntings. But that's a cool spot. We might stop by when you're here because it's an interesting little space.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So another story that we saw that happened in the basement is another staff member reported feeling a small hand grasp her fingers while she was working in the basement. But she was alone. No one was down there with her. That reminds me, though, of Liska.
Yeah. And Lexi holding hands and whatever was happening with me.
Yeah.
Some people have also reported seeing a shadow man in the basement near the tunnel. And when he's around, it's apparently terrifying because you'll just be walking around and you'll feel something behind you. And then you'll turn around to look because you just feel something. And there's a 6-foot-tall fucking shadow just lurking. Absolutely not. Again, just they're like, hey, we heard you like ghosts. We're going to ghost. We're going to like ghost so fucking hard.
Yes. Yeah. And near the tunnel, like just tunnels are unsettling no matter what they were used for or what hotel they're in. You're always like a little intrigued. Like, is someone in there?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Yeah.
Who's left in there? Yeah. No, thank you.
So let's go back to the cocktail lounge. We've talked about it a few times, but we talked about history of the cocktail lounge, but let's talk about hauntings now. So guests and employees have said that they've seen a transparent couple dancing in the area. And when they see them, they're wearing formal attire and they're smiling. So they're having a good time. That's kind of sweet.
That's good.
Yeah. That's one of those things where if you're thinking of different types of haunting, that feels like an echo of a moment.
Yes.
More than like a haunting, like it's just on a loop.
Yeah.
But another thing that people experience. So in 1970, three men robbed a nearby bank. During the robbery, a bank guard shot one of the three robbers. Now, after their robbery, they were like, hell yeah, we just robbed a bank. Let's celebrate and hide out at the Hotel Monte Vista. So they're in the bar and the guy that was shot ends up bleeding out while having that drink. So that's very sad that he died. Don't rob banks, but sad that he died. Now, just as an interesting note, because lawyer Lindsay simply cannot resist saying this. So felony murder. If someone dies when you were committing a felony with other people, it is felony murder. So the other two men could be arrested for murder, like felony murder, because the guard shot their accomplice during the robbery. Isn't that wild?
Interesting.
Yeah. It's because when you commit a crime like that, it's just more likely that there will be a death. And this way, it's a good deterrent for robbing banks, if you will, to be like, if one of you dies, even if someone else is shooting back at you, even if one of you dies, not from one another doing it. Murder. Wild. Anywho.
Yeah.
So people in the bar have been greeted by a man saying, good morning. And they think that it may have been this robber.
I like that he's polite.
Yeah. I was like, at least he's like, you know what? I'm not going to let my little death make everybody else not have a good time. You're in a bar. Let's have a good morning, you know?
Yeah.
So also bar stools and drinks seem to sometimes move on their own. And even sometimes people see a bottle or a drink just go flying off the wall or bar. Again, just like quintessential haunting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People have seen a half-bodied apparition standing at the bar. Now, this is a little different. Some people see the figure of a ghostly cowboy. They say he appears to be almost solid at first, and he's wearing a wide-brim hat with old-fashioned clothing. They see him sitting in the chair, observing the people around him, but then he just disappears. And he's like, why don't y'all have cowboy hats on? What are you fucking doing?
Right.
Other things that people experience there are just the general feeling of being watched. One of these spirits could be the bank robber, but people also think that it could be the spirits of the people who drank and gambled in the building. And we've talked about this before, but maybe it's somebody who wandered up from the tunnel.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, I mean, if they had a good time there.
Yeah, you don't have to move. Like,
that was one of their favorite places to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
They may have gone back. Another thing, too, is for that robbery, I sat there one night. I was like, oh, I really want to find something on this robbery. Could not find a thing. It looks like there's a museum and some like old newspapers that you can look at there in Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find anything online about that specific robbery.
Interesting.
Yeah. But my thought was like, maybe Jeannie is right. And perhaps the people were not wanting any negative press out there. But it just seems weird because it had a specific year. So I feel like 1970 is a lot different than like the year the hotel opened. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of strange. So, Lindsay, would you visit the Hotel Monte Vista?
I think I would visit, but I wouldn't sleep there.
No, I would love to, like, go and have a room and do an investigation, like a nighttime investigation.
Yes.
Or get two rooms, get one of the haunted ones to investigate, and then one of the rooms on the other side of the hotel to sleep in.
There's just no sleeping there. I wouldn't sleep there.
No? I mean, you slept in the Elms just fine.
Yeah, but the Elms didn't have this. Like, there wasn't a meat man touching you with envelopes in your sleep.
I don't think he travels rooms.
I don't think he has in the past, but it wouldn't be the first time that we experience something that other people haven't. You know? So I'm like, I'm good.
They're like, did you have a nice rest last night? And you're like, actually, I didn't sleep. I was afraid the meat man was going to come to my room.
Yeah, I was a bit worried that somebody was going to give me paper cuts in my sleep with their male hands. I will die on this joke.
But I mean, I have stayed there before. I don't think I experienced that. I just felt like it was active. Like the energy there is
quite
a bit different.
Yeah.
So kind of a fun place. If you've stayed there, we want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know, did you experience anything? Did the bellboy crawl on the walls? You'll know that after you hear the end of our episode anyways. But
so sorry.
Did you experience the bellboy? Did you experience a shadow person? How'd you feel in the bar? Did you see a weird cowboy man that wasn't actually there? Tell us, because I am fascinated. And I mean, this is only like, I think, an hour and a half away from me. So
yeah,
perhaps I will take a little trip to where it's not as hot.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels fair.
Now, if you've stayed in any hotel that was creepy for whatever reason and you have stories to share, we want to hear them. Please reach out. Also, we're not quite there, but we're getting there. In October, we have our listener episode, and we would love to include that in our listener episode then. Or if we end up covering that hotel, we'll add it to that if you're okay with it.
Yeah. And you'll also note that pretty much from here on out till we get to October, we're going to remind you, send us your spooky stories, any of your spooky stories. We want to share them on our listener episode. You can share an audio recording of it, or you can also just send it written and we'll read it for you. You can send it anonymously or with your name.
Yes, please.
It's all on our website on how to do it.
It is. It is. Also, if you have a spooky spot that you'd like us to include in our spooky travel series, we want to know that as well. I am fascinated by all the places, especially like in towns I haven't heard of. We put Malvern on the map.
You know it.
I want to know. I want to know. Perhaps we may even visit one day. Who knows? So last thing, if you're loving the show and you want to support the show, which also helps us to be able to visit some of these spooky places and do episodes about it, check out our Patreon. We have tiers that start at only a dollar, and they include all kinds of cool stuff. So some include t-shirts or totes. Some include jam. Shout out to Mary, our jam cat. We just had a couple months ago our Patreon night where we made cryptids together, and I feel like I haven't laughed that much in so long.
I know.
It was so much fun.
I know. And also, we have our fall card coming up for people who are in our Fire Yeti and above tier. That's in just a couple months. The deadline for that is September.
Yeah. Yeah. So check out our Patreon. The link is on our website, all over our social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us. Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
Yeah, that's my dream, is just to have a coffee in hand and go to little weird shops.
That's literally what we did when we went to Salem, was we just went to various coffee shops and then went to little shops all day.
Mm-hmm.
A treat.
I went to Puerto Rico last month. Has it been a month? Maybe 2 months ago. I don't know when this comes out. But they grow their own coffee there. And the coffee there, I brought back like 5 or 10 pounds, something, some outrageous amount, because now I'm like,
the freshest of fresh.
This tastes so much better.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm obsessed. I brought home coffee and a dog. You know, the norm.
As one does. As one does.
As one does. No one has been surprised by that, but I took a dog off of an island.
Not a single person is surprised by this at all. Certified spooky. Oh my gosh, Amanda, that's going to be our thing. We're going to make a stamp and it's certified spooky, and we'll put like just like the hotel, like whatever, certified spooky. from True
and
Creeps.
Stamp it.
Yeah. And when we go to visit places, we can bring them like a framed like plaque. And it's like, hey, congratulations. You are certified. You're a True Creep certified spooky.
Oh my gosh.
Feel free to display this.
Something like that. That would be so fun.
I'm not kidding. Like, I think giving a place like a plaque, like, oh no, hey, by the way, we've researched it. We've looked into it. We've experienced it. You're in fact certified spooky. So congrats.
After we stay there, we should send them that.
Yes. Yes. We should also send it to the Elms.
Yes. Yeah. The Elms. Mm-hmm. Velisca can have one.
Yeah. Velisca can have one. We'll give one to the Lighthouse because they definitely need that from us. Treasure Chest can have one from us. Everywhere we go. Certified spooky. Love it.
Yes.
Fucking love it. Somebody was like, you guys should do live episodes. And I was like, you should be quiet. I was like, you haven't listened to the raw audio where suddenly I'm mid-speech and it sounds like I have marbles in my mouth for no reason. No reason at all.
I was going to say, tangents that have nothing to do with anything.
That you're just committed for the ride. Like, if you're cool with it, then you're cool with it, you know?
We could fill 3 hours with that.
We could fill 3 hours. we'll take a little pause mid-thing, start shopping. Who knows what we'll buy? Who knows what we'll take a look at?
Who could know?
Yeah.
Who could know?
Who knows where we'll start? Who knows where we'll end?
We don't even know. Sharks.
Do you want 3 hours of unfiltered, unedited live chats with, you know, loosely about spooky topics? Like we'll start there, but we're going to talk about a lot of things.
We're not going to end there.
We're not going to end there. I mean, like, no, we'll circle back.
That's scripted when we actually end there, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't have a producer. There's no one being like, knock it the fuck off. Amanda and I are just like, yeah, you tell me about that weird thing. I'm going to talk about something else now, too. Let's just do that for a minute or so.
We're the producers.
We're the producers. We run this.
Hold on. Didn't we get an IMDb credit for our producer?
Oh, hell yeah, we did. I was like, I think we did. We fancy.
Yes. We are writers. Oh, no. Sorry. We're writers, directors, and actresses.
Oh, yeah, this is all a character. This isn't who I actually
am. We're voice actresses.
Oh, yeah, this is all made up. This isn't real.
Nonsense. But yes, so serious. 3 hours of unfiltered nonsense. Yes, that's what people want.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's what people want.
What we're missing.
That's what we're missing. It's 3 hours of unfiltered, unedited nonsense. Where we loosely talk about what we've researched.
Yep. And then a lot of shopping, mm-hmm. a lot of looking at houses.
We say shopping, we mean looking. We're not necessarily buying. We're just looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the weird shit that we've seen throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of dogs, lots of cats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll give the people what they want.
That's what they want.
Okay. We have a lot of end of episode stuff already.
Yep. You know
it. We are 13 minutes in. Okay.
The bellboy apparition is described as having an old-fashioned red coat with brass buttons and also has been seen just wandering up and down the walls.
The halls, not the walls. That would be terrifying.
Walls. Wandering up and down the walls. Wandering up and down the halls.
I just imagine this bellboy scurrying up and down the halls.
So bad. Like, I said it's
so terrifying. Never mind. I'm not going there. I can't.
I just imagine like Nightcrawler, but like in a bellboy costume. Okay, that needs to go on the end because that is funny, but I'm going to re-say this. I'm not going to let my death stop everybody from having a bad time.
A good time.
Okay, man. Yeah, bad time. Yeah. Hello, man. Is this chicken cutlets?